الله بوضع أهل البيت عليهم السلام، صلوات على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على الإمام حسين عليه السلام، صلوات على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد، صلوات على محمد وآل محمد. Lovely one, general, loud salawat.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، وباعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى، تبارك وتعالى. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على خاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين، الرسول المؤيد والنبي الممجد، المصطفى الأمجد، أبو القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، لا سيما على الإمام المنتظر وحجة الله الثاني عشر ابن العسكري المنتظر، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فإن الله الصادق العليم قال في كتابه الكريم القرآن الحكيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يوم نفخ في الصور فتأتون أفواجا. صلوات. Brothers and sisters, salam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As we gather here tonight in the continuation of our discussion on the topic Qiyamah, the countdown to eternity, we stand at halfway mark of our series that have been intended to be discussed. Sixth night, and we're almost halfway through. And these nights go very fast, and before we realize, Shabi Ashuran, the day of Ashura will be upon us. Few nights where the maximum concentration and the attendance and the focus of people, and we need to benefit as much as is possible. Continuing with our discussion in this entire journey of man from the time he is born, continuing up to the time he is dying, and upon his death continues what is referred to as ma ba'd al-maut, the happenings after death, till eventually we reach a point when he enters into the hereafter. The first portion of the hereafter referred to as the barzakh, and then he crosses the barzakh and enters into that realm into that domain for which 1200 times or more Allah has promised in the Quran, has warned in the Quran, has threatened in the Quran, that this day will come when you had started from the realm of the spiritual world, came into the material world, led the life of the material world, and a time will come when it is said, "Wa ilayhi raji'un," you will return back to Him. A day that is going to come, a day that cannot be thwarted, a day you like it, I like it, has to be there. And yesterday we reached the point when we have reached a stage when all those preliminary introductions and forerunning events have taken place. And then when Nufikha fi Sur, as Surah Naba, verse number 16, as I had recited earlier, says, وَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ, and then the trumpet will be blown, the second trumpet, which will initiate that entire process of إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, when Quran says, فَتَّاتُونَ أَفْوَاجَ, once the trumpet shall be blown, you will be called to us, you will be made to gather before us, أَفْوَاجَ فَوْجْ. And how are these groups of fauj going to take place? We commenced last night near the end of the lecture of that hadith of the Holy Prophet, wherein he explains some of those groups that are gonna come. But before I can embark upon the explanation of those groups that I had initiated yesterday, there is an important thing that I want to explain to you. Because in the absence of that understanding, the comprehension of what these people will undergo is something that is very unacceptably, will not be comprehensible to the mind. That means till we do not realize, till we do not know what is that specific discussion that I want to explain to you, we will never be able to understand that when the Holy Prophet says those 10 groups will be separated from the others and brought in a specific format, in a specific form, what is the effect that is having on them? What is the consequences it is having upon them? And in order to explain this, I will refer to one sentence of Dua-e Kumail, which Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu was salam. Says in Dua-e Kumail, on the basis of that, I want to explain something that has been explained by Imam Khomeini in his book, The 40 Ahadith. In Dua-e Kumail, which you recite on Thursday night, you find that there is one sentence that Imam Ali says, and he repeatedly emphasizes those things in different forms. At times he says, رَبِّ رَحَمْ رِقَّةَ جِلْدِي وَدِقَّةَ عَظْمِي, Allah, have mercy on this feeble skin and brittle bones. At times he says, Oh Allah, have mercy on me, who cannot face the punishments or the trials of this world. How will this Ali be able to face the trials of the hereafter? And in various forms, one thing that he emphasizes, that whatever man undergoes in this world, sallu ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Whatever man undergoes in this world is nothing in comparison to what he will face in the hereafter. And in various forms, and in various means, and by various terminologies, Imam Ali alayhi salam has emphasized this, that there is something that is beyond this world, that whatever we clamor, whatever we complain, whatever we cry about the trials, the tribulations, the adversities in this world, it cannot be compared to what is going to come in the hereafter. And this is what we have to understand, that what is there in this world, that cannot be compared to the hereafter. Or in other words, what happens in the hereafter that cannot be compared to this world. And in order to understand this, we need to go to that explanation that Imam Khomeini has given in his book 40 Hadith or 40 Ahadith, in which when he's talking about Kibr, this is I think the 5th or the 6th Hadith of the 40 Ahadith that he is discussing. In this he explains That Imam, when he's talking about and comparing the punishments and the chastisement of this world, and compares it to the punishments and chastisement of the Akhirah, he says the world cannot be compared. The Akhirah, the punishment, the chastisement, the torture, and everything that is going to take place over there cannot be compared to this world. Because it is of a magnitude that is much beyond what can be understood by people in this world. Here at this point we have to understand, what is the thing that separates the Akhirah from this world? And what is that thing that the punishment of the Akhirah becomes so much more in magnitude than what is seen in this world? And in order to understand why the chastisement, why the punishment, the fire of the Akhirah becomes so much more intense than the fire in this world, the biting of the snake in the Akhirah becomes so much more tense and intense than the biting of the snake in this world, you have to understand certain factors and realities. And that is that whatever intensity of anything that we need to understand is dependent upon four factors. That means when we look at an intensity of a certain thing, say for example fire, the intensity, the effect, the ta'athir of fire, hypothetical example we are taking of fire, this will be applicable generally and universally to everything that is there in Akhirat as opposed to the world. So the intensity, the effect, the ta'athir of fire in this world is very different from the intensity, the effect and ta'athir of the fire in the Akhirat. Why? Because there are four factors that play a major role in understanding or in imparting an effect. First of these factors is the degree of endurance. Depending upon the degree of endurance, the intensity varies. More the endurance, more the intensity. Less the endurance, less the intensity. For all of these four factors, I will give you examples. One, as regards to the degree of endurance, as I said, more the endurance, more the intensity. Less the endurance, less the intensity. Means what? Take the example of water and iron. When you look at the example of water and iron, when you start heating water at 100 degrees Celsius, water begins to boil. As it begins to boil, it gets converted into vapor. As it gets converted into vapor, the moment you increase the temperature to 125 degrees, there is no more water remaining. Because the moment you exceed 100 degrees Celsius, that water no longer exists. It has become vapor. That means now the endurance of that water is finished. It no longer exists. So any heat that you give is not being subjected to water. Because water is not there anymore. It's converted into vapor. So the effect of this heat on water effectively terminates at beyond 100 degrees Celsius. But when you take the case of iron, as you start heating iron, 100 degrees no effect begins to heat. 200 degrees no effect begins to heat. 400 degrees, no effect, it begins to heat. As you keep heating, it becomes hot. As you heat more, it becomes more hot. As you increase the heat, it becomes red hot. As you increase the heat, it becomes white hot. As you increase the heat, it begins to become molten. At around 1500 odd degrees, iron becomes molten. At 100 degrees beyond, the water is gone. Endurance finished. But here iron, at 1500 degrees it is still existing. You increase it to 2000 degrees, still existing. You increase to 2500 degrees, still existing. The boiling point of iron is 2750 odd degrees Celsius. Up to 2750 odd degrees Celsius, this iron is enduring the heat. This in comparison to water at 100 degrees, water ceases to exist. More the endurance, more the intensity. One factor. Factor number two, the degree of sensitivity. The more the intense and sensitive an item, the more the intensity of the effects. The less sensitive an item, the less impact, and the less intense is the impact. So for example, you find that in our body, there are certain portions of our body that are more sensitive to heat or cold. Say for example, the tips of the fingers, the tips of the lips, the entire structure of the tongue. These are those portions of the body that are more sensitive as opposed to the other. So you take up a cup of hot tea or coffee, and the moment you touch it on the lips, you say, ouch. But that same cup, with that same heat, if you were to touch it at the back of your wrist, you would not feel the heat to that extent. Why? Because the surface of the epidermal skin on the lips and the tips of the fingers and the tongue is more sensitive than the epidermal skin on the back of the wrist. So that same heat, when felt on the tongue or on the lips, is more heat and more intense than the heat when it is felt on the back of the wrist. More the sensitivity, more the intensity. Two. Factor number three, which affects the intensity, is the actual intensity of the heat. So that is very simple to understand. A heat of 100 degrees is definitely going to be more than the heat of 50 degrees Celsius. So if you have a lukewarm water, which is at around room temperature or a little above room temperature, when you put your finger inside, you feel some warmth. But that water heated to 100 degrees, you put your finger, it begins to burn and scald. Temperatures differ, intensity differs. Directly proportional. More the heat, more the intensity. Factor number three. Factor number four that affects the impact of a certain heat is the nearness or the distance from an object. So for example, this heater that is over there, sitting over here, I can sense a certain heat on my cheek. But if that thing were to be placed over here, 6 inches from my face, probably the hair on my face would begin to get singed. The heat is the same, intensity is the same skin, sensitivity is the same, but the nearness and furtherness of that heat plays an impact. When it is far, I can feel the warmth. When it is near, I can feel the heat. So four factors: degree of endurance, one, the degree of sensitivity, two, the degree of intensity, three, and the degree of distance, four. These are four factors that contribute to a person and the intensity which that person feels with regards to that heat. These four factors, when you compare with respect to dunya and akhirah, we find an absolute difference between the world and the hereafter. In this world, all four of these instances are very weak, are very mild. But these four things, when you compare it in the hereafter, assume immense importance, assume immense proportions, become very fiery, become very strong, the degree rises dramatically. So for example, when you look at the degree of endurance in this world, if a person were to be put into the fire, this skin has got an endurance of a certain amount of time. If this body is placed into fire, within 15 minutes, 20 minutes of being engulfed in fire, this body will give up its endurance. That means man will die. That is the endurance level of man's body in this world. Akhirat, it is different, because there is no death. You keep heating and you keep heating, this body just will not die. It is like that iron and that water. You keep heating water, after a certain time it becomes vapor, gone. Now as much you take a bowl, you heat it, water, 125 degrees, vapor. Now there is no more water. You heat as much as is possible, it will not affect the water. Water does not exist. Man, exactly in this world, you heat man, after a certain amount of time man dies. In the akhirah there is no mouth. Quran says, when man is being sent to hell, it is a place, لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَا. It is a place where you cannot live because of the pain, because of the torture. You feel you want to commit suicide, you want to die. You cannot die because there is no death. You cannot live because of the pain and the punishment. There you don't die. You keep enduring that pain. You keep enduring the heat, and the intensity keeps increasing and increasing. The body's endurance keeps increasing. It's like that iron, 2750 degrees Celsius, and it is still bearing the heat. Akhirat, this is what happens. The body endurance of the body increases dramatically. There's no death. Increase the degree of sensitivity. In this world, our perceptions have a certain sense and certain limitations. So for example, somebody talking at the back, very difficult for me to hear. It's been clouded, It has limitations. Somebody talking over here comes to me. Somebody talking over there doesn't come to me. Probably something's moving over there I can see. Somebody moving a mile from here I cannot see. Limitations. Over there are no limitations. Quran says, فَكَشِفْنَا عَنْكَ غِفَاءَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. All curtains of ghaib will be moved out. All perceptions become sharp. Everything becomes very, very sensitive. So for example, I take a pin and I prick my hand at the back of my wrist. I get a certain sense of pain. But if that same pin, if I were to put it into my eyes, what would happen? Definitely the pain would be much, much more. Why? Because the eyes are much, much more sensitive than the back of my skin. I'm asking you a question. The eyes, everybody knows, everybody realizes, very, very sensitive. A small little speck goes into the eyes, becomes very difficult to tolerate. You pucker want to put water into your eyes and remove it, till then you don't get comfort. Small little speck. So sensitive. What happens if you were to take a pin and prick it into the eyes? You can't even imagine, can't even conceive. Ask you a question. What would happen if Allah were to make the entire body as sensitive as the eye? You touch something and the whole thing just jitters. Little warmth into the eyes when you just start, it gets very discomforting. The whole body becomes like this, assuming. A little heat in the whole body just jolts. Allah makes it sensitive. This is in this world. What happens in the hereafter when that is magnified infinite number of times? That means now the slightest of motions, the slightest of heat is just enough to jar the entire body. Because now the perceptions are more. فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. Everything is very sharp, acute. You perceive everything very clearly. That is going to affect the fire that is going to come. Because now you try to put a matchstick into your eyes, what will happen? Assuming your whole body becomes like an eye. And assuming that body that is like an eye, sensitive as an eye, is magnified infinite number of times. What would be the state? A little bit of fire that comes to you. It's as if it's qiyamah for you. Because now perceptions are very high. Very acute, very intense. Thirdly, when we are talking about the intensity of the fire, that itself is a big problem. Because in this world, the fire that is there, metaphorically it is said, that the fire of Akhirah is taken, it is, and you will see, you read it in the madrasa, you will hear it along, that the water, the fire from the hereafter is taken, it was washed 70 times with water, means it was cooled 70 times, and now this fire that you see in this world is a 70th portion of heat and intensity of what is there in Akhirah. Metaphorically stating, nobody takes fire and washes it 70 times. But this 3000 degrees, 4000 degrees, 5000 degrees Celsius of the sun that you see, that the moment somebody wants to move just nearer to the sun, you say it turns to cinder. All this Copenhagen treaties that are going on regarding climate change, it is because of 2 degrees and 1 degree that they want to change over a period of 20 years. Those 2 degrees change so much that people over here remember the summers of UK previously and the summers of UK now. Lot of difference. Because of what? Because of this heat. But this heat is nothing compared to the heat of the fire of the Akhirah. There is this report, a tradition from Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam. He is coming and talking to the Prophet. As he is discussing with the Prophet, he is narrating to the Prophet. You know, in the Akhirah, the punishment that will be there for sinners will be. And one of the things he says is that, on the day of judgment, when the hukum will be passed, when the ruling will be passed, this person is a sinner. At that time, one of the first things that will happen is that he will be imprisoned. He will be in captivity. And captivity like what? Just like it happens in this world, your hands are tied with chains, your bodies are tied with chains, the legs are tied with chains. The only thing is that in this world, as we see at Guantanamo Bay, more pictures that come out, people in fetters and chains. Over there also there will be fetters and chains. Only thing, the difference is, in this world the fetters and chains are of iron. Over there, Hazrat Jibreel is telling the Prophet, the fetters and chains will be of fire. Every chain will be of length of zira, one arm length. Hadrat Jibreel says, the fire from which these chains were made or are made in the form of links, Hadrat Jibreel says, the heat of the fire of the Akhirah is so much that even if one link from this entire chain that is wrapped around this person's head and around his hands and around his body and around his legs, eating into his flesh, burning into his flesh, forget the whole chain. Even if one link of the chain, Hadrat Jibreel is saying to the Prophet, even if one link of this chain were to be dropped from the heaven or from the hell onto this earth, on the mountains, every mountain will dissipate into a state of molten rock because of the heat. This heat over there, with that intensity of endurance and that intensity of sensitivity, I leave it to your imagination what would happen. I can only say that looking into this, Ali says, oh Allah, I cannot bear the punishment of the Akhirah. And finally, the degree of nearness, when you burn something over here, or when something burns as in this world, what happens is that the entire burning that takes place in the exterior. That means whatever is burnt, burns in the exterior. If a person gets burnt, it's his face, it's his hand, it's his body that gets burnt. His soul doesn't get burnt. His ruh doesn't get burnt. This is the problem in the Akhirah. Because in Akhirah, in the hereafter, in Jahannam and Qiyamah, this is another difference. Because the nearness is so much, that thing over there, that heater over there is warm. When it is over here, it is hot. It is scalding, it is burning. It singes the hair. That same fire is there. Intensity is there. The sensitivity is there. The endurance is there. But now, in addition to all this, it is very near. How near? Physically? No. In the hereafter, the fire not only burns the exterior, it also burns the interior. Suratul Humaza, allati tattali'u 'alal af'ida. It burns the exterior and it burns the soul. From exterior, you're being burned. That fire enters the spiritual domain of a person and begins to burn the ruh, begins to burn the soul. Exterior is burning. Interior is burning. Nearness, as near as possible, sensitivity to its peak, endurance to its peak, intensity to its peak, then you find Ali crying in the mosque of Kufa. This is what is there. And when this is there, at that time when Ma'ad ibn Jabal asks the Prophet, O Prophet, when Allah says, يَوْمَ نُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ, when the trumpet shall be blown, فَتَاتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا, and you will come, فَوْج, فَوْج, you will come in groups. What are these groups? Then he starts describing those groups. He says, there will be one group that will be coming in the form of monkeys. There will be another group that will be coming in the form of pigs. There will be a third group that will be coming inverted. There will be a fourth group that will be coming without hands and limbs. There will be another group that will be coming that will be blind. Another group that will be made to come will be dumb and deaf. Another group that will come will be covered with tar. The other group that will come in a manner that it will be licking its tongue. Another group will come in a manner that the body is so painfully odious and the fragrance or the smell is so hateful that everybody gets inconvenienced. And he says, these groups will be come and placed onto the plains of Mahshar. So Ma'ad ibn Jabal asks, now this is stunning for him. First time, he wanted to know, what are these groups? Holy Prophet gives him a whole list. But remember, this thing that I'm going to explain, or the explanation that is going to come now, is only one of the hadith. In addition to this hadith, there are so many more hadith that explain the number of groups that will come. This only explains 10. This is only a portion of that entire gathering that will be separated out. There is more groups. And after I finish this hadith, we will explain some more groups. And I have singled out those things that I feel is very prevalent in the West. So that we know that should we tend to follow the Western culture, what is awaiting us on the Day of Judgment? La rayba fiha. There is no doubt about coming of that day. And when Mu'adh ibn Jabal asked, O Prophet, what are these groups? Who are these individuals that are coming in these forms? Then the Prophet starts the explanation. He's saying, Isma', listen, O Mu'adh. Because you've asked me about a very azim thing, a very azim shay, a very azim amr. He's saying those groups that were coming in the form of monkeys, and you will see that when it is said that the day of judgment is Yawmul Haqq, the day of truth, how truth of a person's nature manifests itself in the form that he is given on the day of judgment. Because everything that takes place on that day has to be in conformity with Haqq, has to be in conformity with truth, has to be in conformity with the reality. And these changes that you will see, and these groups that when they come in the form that they come, you will see how much more in accordance and in conformity with their nature and behavior and actions that they've been doing in this world, you will find the similarity. The Prophet says that first group which was brought in the form of monkeys are those people who engage in telltaling, who tell tales. They sit with this group, pick up issues, then go to the opposite group and pass on the words over there. Listen to what those people are saying, pick up the words and bring it over here, as a result of which, between this person and that person, between this group and that group, there arises a fitna, there arises a discord, there arises a quarrel between two brothers because of this tell-tailing business that this person is doing. There arises a quarrel between them. There arises a fitna. And Quran says, there are ranks of sins. There are ranks of offenses that are done. Murder is very big. But Quran categorically says, murder may be big, but al-fitnatu akbaru min al-qatl. Setting up a fitna between two individuals, between two groups, is akbar min al-qatl, is worse off in the eyes of God than qatl. Because in qatl, in murder, there is one person involved. In fitna, at times there are two people involved, at times there are two groups involved, at times there are two families involved, at times there are two communities involved. Because of this jumping action of these individuals, picking up things from here, passing in over there, sitting over there, picking up things from there and passing, the Prophet says they will be brought up in the form of monkeys. And remember, just the fact that they come in monkeys, you might think, what is the punishment in this? The punishment in this is that they are humans by nature. They are humans by soul, but their faces have been transformed into monkeys. Something which is referred to in dunya if it happens, in this world if it happens, and as it has happened at the time of Bani Israel, at the time of Musa and Isa, people who were disobedient to God, Allah told them, because of this act of recalcitrance and stubbornness, we are going to convert you into monkeys. Kunu qiradatan khasain, Quran says. They got converted into monkeys. These are referred to, or this action in the world, if it takes place, is referred to as mask. Something that yesterday Hujjatul Islam al-Muslimin, the esteemed scholar Maulana Sadiq Hasan Sabed, I believe has mentioned about it. This transformation that takes place shows not the fact that there is no punishment. He is a man, a human, but now he is an animal human. He is a monkey human. So internally he thinks, internally he reflects, internally he knows he is human, but he looks in the mirror, he finds himself a monkey. In this world, you tell somebody, you are a donkey, or you are a dog, he will take great offense. Whereas he knows he is not a donkey, he knows he is not a dog. But still, the fact that you ascribe him to an animal is enough to infuriate him, is enough to humiliate him. Now this man on the day of judgment, internally he knows he is human. He looks in the mirror, he finds himself an animal. Azab this is. This is punishment. Tradition says in this world, those communities that Allah converted while they were humans, into animals, into apes, they did not last for more than 3 days. Within 3 days they would die, because of that psychological punishment that was going. I have been converted into an animal. I am human, but my face shows I'm a pig. My face shows I'm an animal. They cannot tolerate, they cannot bear that psychological pressure that is building up, that a human I am and I've been converted into animal. Tradition says all those communities whom in this world Allah has done transformation, Allah has transformed and done musk, they did not survive more than 3 days. There on the day of judgment, 50,000 years. تَعْرُجُ إِلَيْهِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُّوحِ فِي قَيَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ 50,000 years. In the world, this transformation, 3 days they could not bear. Therefore, 50,000 years, the psychological pressure is building up. A human has been converted into a monkey. But Allah says, your habits were that way. Jumping from here to there, you become an ape. Saying the second group that come as pigs, second group that came as khanazir, were those people who were habituated to consuming or earning haram income. Haram income in the eyes of Islam is najis. Haram income in the eyes of Islam is dirt. Haram income in the eyes of Islam is khabith. And animals that eat khabith, animals that eat najis, animals that eat dirt cannot be worse off than animals than pigs. In this world we were telling you to eat good things and have halal income. You left halal income. You want to establish an alcohol business because there is a lot of business and money inside it. You leave tayyibat, you leave good things, and you want to go for evil and dirty and impure things. On the day of judgment, we will bring this nature out before you, before everybody on this planet that is there. And this is what it is called, Yawmul Haq. A person or an animal who's used to eating impure najis and khabait is pig. Your reality is pig. On the day of judgment, you will come as a pig. The third group of people who come inverted, tradition says their heads onto the ground, their legs on top. But they have to come to the mahshar. They have to come to the plains of judgment. They will be dragged on their heads. They will be dragged on their faces. What will happen to their heads? I don't know. What will happen to their faces? I don't know. I just know, Imam Sadiq says, there will be one angel who will be pushing. Sa'iq. Those are shadidul gilaza. They are not scared of anybody because they have been under the command of God. Drag this man into the mahshar. Then they're not worried what will happen. But whatever will happen, this man from his face and his head is being dragged into the mahshar. As he is dragged, it is said, the reason that this person is being subjected to this punishment is because this person was habituated to earning interest. Was habituated to having his earning made from riba. Now riba is also haram. But this has been specifically separated out from those pigs which also eat haram. Because riba in the eyes of Islam is so despicable and so abominable that Allah says, all those who eat haram will come as pigs. But those who eat haram in the form of riba, we will bring in this form. Why? Because they are inverted. Why are they inverted? Because they have inverted the rulings of God. And what is the ruling of God? In the Quran, Allah says, refrain from riba. أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ. Allah has made business and transaction halal for you. But Allah has made riba and interest haram upon you. This man sought to turn the rulings of God and was indulging in riba, refraining from what was halal, the transaction. Allah says, you want to turn me upside down. You want to turn my rulings upside down. This is your nature. On the day of judgment, I will bring you in this form. Come in an inverted form. Heads down, legs on top. Yawmul Haq. And the zina and this riba is not a joke. People take it so easily. People take it so confidently. It is said, I'm asking you questions, I don't expect answers from you. You heard about zina, and we will listen and we will talk about zina tonight. I hope we have that much time. But we know how zina is dirty and evil and bad in the eyes of God. The punishment will come. It is haram to have fornication, zina, and an illicit relationship with a lady who is not a person's wife. Correct? What happens if a person engages in the zina? A big sin. Punishment will come later. But all of us know it's a big sin. While indulging, people might not. Not you. I'm not talking about you. You're all pure-hearted and clear people. I'm talking about those people outside. Outside of our community. Or from other religions who do not know. Very evil. A na-mahram, if you have illicit relationship, illegitimate relationship, very bad. The arch of God shakes. Two or three things that happen in the world, tradition says the arch of God moves. That means the wrath of God moves the entire celestial entity of the spiritual world. What happens if this illicit relationship takes place not between a namahram, not between a boy in a university and a girl in a university? What happens if it happens between a mahram, between a boy and his aunt? It's haram, no? If it is, you cannot marry your aunt, a maternal aunt or a paternal aunt. What happens if it happens with the aunt? Very bad, even worse. What happens if it were to happen with the sister? What happens if it were to take place between a mother and a son? I'm not stopping here, huh? I'm going to move further. What happens if an illicit relationship, an illegitimate physical relationship takes place between a mother and a son? Again, I don't expect answers. I'm moving forward. What happens if this relationship takes place in Masjidul Haram? What happens if it transgresses Masjidul Haram and takes place inside the Kaaba? Physical relationship between the son and the mother inside the Kaaba in the house of God. What if it does not take place once, 37 times? This 37 figure, I'm stating with a purpose. Because the tradition has said, a person who consumes one dirham of interest is equivalent to have committed a sin as a mother sleeping with her son inside the Kaaba 37 times. We're not concerned about interest, are we? We're not concerned about what is happening. These, normally in hadith, you don't get these odd figures, huh? There are only two or three instances that I can remember that you have these odd figures. One, I remember number 18. That is a different aspect. Normally you have 40, you have 7, you have 70, you have 700. 37 is a very odd figure. That shows there is something in it. 37 times an illicit relationship between mahram people inside the Kaaba. One dirham. Come inverted onto the day of judgment. You want to turn my rulings, I will turn you on the day of judgment, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The four people that are talking about, people will be coming blind. What are these blind people? These are those people that when they enter into solving a dispute, when they enter into an arbitration of sorts, they give wrong ruling on. Amaro friend che, amaro friend nathi. We give ruling in his favor. It doesn't have to be sitting in a court of law. It happens so many times during our day-to-day affairs. Two people have a quarrel, two people have differences. We say, I want to be muttaqi, I want to be good, I want to be a Shia, I want to solve the solution. I come inside, I listen to him. I'm close to him, I said, Baba, Jawade, let him be. That Jawade, let it be, comes in the form of a blind person on the day of judgment. Don't interfere, tradition says. If there is a dispute, if you are arbitrating, be fair and be haq. Because if you choose to ignore the reality, it means you are choosing to see the reality. If you are choosing to see the reality, this is your reality. On the day of reality, you will be brought up in your real form, which is blind. There are people who will come deaf and dumb. Tradition says these are those people, the Prophet is saying, I'm continuing. Tradition says the Prophet is saying that other group that will come, that will be dumb, that will be deaf, are those people who like to hear their own praise. Self-conceit, self-praise, self-lauding. They like people to praise them. They praise themselves, and their ears are so nice they feel when somebody praises them. Ketlo muttaki manas che, mashallah. Five years the pillars of my namaz padech, mashallah. It's music to their ears. Allah says, don't be self-conceited. You are just a trivial, insignificant creature that I've got. That starts off as najis in the form of money, that ends up as maita in the form of najis. Why are you being so self-conceited? This is not arrogance, huh? Arrogance is even worse, we will come to that. Self-conceited. Saying, because you like to praise yourself so much, because you like to hear people praising you so much, this is your reality on the day of judgment. You don't deserve that praise. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Or praises for Allah. You want praise? Haya. On the day of judgment. No ears, no tongue. You don't talk, you don't hear. What are those people that come? That come with that sucking their tongues and dripping of the septic and the pus. Saying these are those people, these are those scholars who talk, who preach. Oh, fine majlis. Beautiful. When it comes to action, they don't act. This tongue is moving around just falsely. The heart and the action saying something else. Tongue saying something else. I come licking a tongue. But that tongue is not an ordinary tongue. It is a tongue that is putrid, that is decaying, that is septic. Because that tongue was not sadir. Reality will be shown on to the day of judgment. Persons, the other group that will come, will be coming with their hands cut, amputated. Legs amputated, being pulled up. They see everybody able to move. They see everybody able to do something. These people, not a fly can be moved because they don't have hands. That ground, as I said on the previously, it's a living ground. It's a living earth. Do not doubt this. I can show you books of scholars. Allama Taba Tabai. I can show you Murtada Mutahari. I can show you Ayatollah Khomeini. Don't doubt this. That ground is living. These hands are not there. Legs are not there. But that ground beneath him is burning. He can't move. Who are these people? The Prophet says, these are those people who were inconveniencing their neighbors. They were troubling their neighbors. God says, you're troubling your neighbors. You're supposed to help them with your hands. Why did I keep you besides them? To trouble them. I will give you something that you will never trouble anybody on the day of judgment. No hands to trouble, no legs to trouble. This relationship with the neighbor, you heard about what was doing, what Hazrat Zahra used to do. That incident, whole night she would spend in worship. Whole night she would be reciting Salatul Layl and Du'as and Ad'iyas and Ziyarat and whatever. The whole night, morning when at the time of Salat, when Hassan and small little children, when they get up, they would see Fatima standing. When they would look down, her feet swollen. Whole night she is there waiting and praying. Whole night standing. Then at the time in the morning, Salat, at the time of Sahar, when she asks, puts up her hands for prayers, all she's asking, Allah, solve the problem of this neighbor. Get that neighbor's daughter married. Solve the health of this problem of this neighbor. Everything about neighbor. Hasanain asked, Ummi, O my mother, at least pray for us. What was that sentence that Bibi said? What was the sentence? Al-Jar Thummad-Dar. First I will pray for the neighbors. Then I will pray for you. You may be my children, but I will pray for them first. Troubling the neighbors. Hurting the neighbors. No hands, no feet. As it moves forward, you find those individuals. A group will be brought. Fires of tree. Suspended from the fires of tree. Who are these people? Prophet says, Ma'adaz. Who are those people that you said would be hung up from the trees made of fire? Branches of fire. Leaves of fire. As soon as they're put up, these people start getting inflamed. Inflammable objects become they. What is their sins? Their sins are that they were slanderers in this world. Any little opportunity they would never let go to hurt somebody, to slander somebody. In front very nice when they go, Baba Abo, show off courage. Slandering, talking ill, trying to humiliate behind their backs. Allah says, you never cared for hurting their sentiments. Your reality was that you were hurting. You liked hurting. So now you will also face the same consequence. Stand up, get hung up onto the tree of fire. Start getting burned so that you know how they felt when you were slandering them. The eighth group that was there was something that was said. And this is again applicable to you, to us, applicable to members of our community if we are into this sort of things. It said a group will be raised up. As they are brought up, their hands will be tied behind their backs, behind their necks, in such a manner that they will not be able to make the slightest of motions with their hands. But the thing that is amazing about them is that from their bodies a stench will emanate. That will be very putrid. Maad asked Prophet, who are these people? Hands tied, foul smelling. He's saying these are those individuals who were very hesitant, who were not giving the haqq of Allah from their wealth. Khums nahi apu, I don't want to give khums. Zakat, I don't want to give zakat. Kafara, I'm earning £80,000 because of my effort. Why should I give it to God? Why should I give it to religion? Your hands would not go into your pockets, right? We will make sure it doesn't move on the day of judgment. Tied onto the back, all punishment that are being subjected, they cannot make any movement with their hands. Suffering for 50,000 years. كَانَ مِخْدَارُهُ خَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةً 50,000 years. And then the last one. And then the last one that comes is that group that is covered with tar, asphalt, hot, sticking to their body. Have you ever tried putting your finger into burning asphalt? This pulls out of your skin. The whole body covered, screaming, shouting, crying, but God says, no, this is how you will fare. Who are these? The Prophet says, these are the arrogant people. In the world, because of money, they were so arrogant, they thought themselves to be too big, too pure. You were not pure, you were impure. Your internal was not bright, it was dark. We will make you dark in this world. Tar on your body, heated, sticking to your body, you cannot do anything about it. But this group is something that has another explanation that is coming. Because this group of arrogant people have another tradition, which again Imam Khomeini has mentioned. He says, these arrogant people, there are two traditions. Some of them will be subjected to this punishment, covered with tar, boiling, hot, scalding tar, touches the skin, becomes a second layer on it. Shouting, screaming, trying to pull it out. This is not the worldly tar that will come out. 50,000 years they will have to bear this. 50,000 years they will be screaming, but nobody to help. 50,000 years bearing out, لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. You don't die. There's no death. You don't live. Because the punishment is too severe. It's saying for this category of people who are arrogant, there is another punishment. Saying in Jahannam, I'm just transgressing little from the Qiyamah. It's saying in Jahannam, again today I will take a few minutes of your time. إِنَّ فِي جَهَنَّمَ لَوَادِيًا يُقَالُ لَهُ السَّقَرَ He's saying, in Jahannam, in the pits of hell, there is a separate location which is even further deep. Within hell, there is a valley, يُقَالُ لَهُ السَّقَرَ It is called Saqar. Saying, it is so hot, that at times it asks permission from God, can I breathe out? I'm too hot myself. That means you've got the entire Jahannam. How it is, it will not be the scope of discussion for this ashra. But what that Jahannam is, just the fact that when Quran on two occasions says, you will not live in it, you will not die in it, it is up to your imagination. But within this place in which a person cannot live nor die, there is another valley, Saqar. See, the intensity and heat of this Saqar is so immense that at times, it prays to God, God, give me permission so that I can breathe out. The heat within me is too much. Don't be surprised when these people are talking. As I said, everything over there has a consciousness. Everything over there has a perception. Quran says, on the day of judgment, when the accounting will be done, and when people will be asked, okay, these people go to heaven, these people go to hell, one by one, everybody will be put into hell. Now there is nobody on the plains of Qiyamah. They have either gone to heaven, or they have gone to hell. At that time, Quran says, this hell will turn to God and says, Hal mim mazid? Is there any more of your disobedient servants that you want me to take care of? They talk, That world is an entirely different world. يُقَالُ لَهُ سَقَرْ It will pray to, it prays to Allah. Allah, I am getting too hot inside. Can I blow out? فَعَذِنَ اللَّهُ لَهُ Imam, this tradition says that Allah gave the Saqar permission to breathe out. فَإِذَا تَنَفَّسَ فَاحْتَرَقَ جَهَنَّمَ كُلَّهَا As soon as it breathed out its heat, that hell, which is something characterized by, nobody will live in it, nobody will die in it. The heat of Saqar, when it breathed out, was so much, the entire hell caught fire. See, this Saqar is the place for people who are arrogant. Little money in your pocket, you can't do salam to your mom and brother, huh? A little Mercedes that you brought, 2009 model. Somebody says, Salami, don't want to stop, huh? Lil-mutakabbirin. Tradition says. They will be sent to Saqar. You think you're too big? We will not only send you to hell. We will send you to the abysses of hell. The labyrinths, the pits of hell. Because your reality is this. You think you are too big. You're not too big. You're small. You're very low, you're very mean. That's where you will go on the day of judgment. Yawmul Haqq. But these are the things that have come in this tradition. Beyond this, there are things that I need to take time. Things that we see people from the community or outside at times. Music people like very much, isn't it? Yes? Rap? Very nice over here. Over there, it's a very different scenario, my friends. Tradition says, on the day of judgment, a group will be called. Now this is a different tradition. This is not the one that Ma'ad ibn Jabal was asking the Prophet. But tradition says, this group will be called, placed onto on the plains of Qiyamah. All of a sudden, angels will come with iron. That iron will be heated. It will be heated till it becomes hot. It will be heated till it becomes red hot. It will be heated till it becomes white hot. It will be heated till it begins to melt. That molten iron will be taken. These individuals will be placed onto the ground. Angels will come. Remember, Sayyid is there. Shaheed is there. Over there is no escape. Preventing from farar. No escape. Saying these people will be made to turn on their sides. As they are placed on their sides, these molten iron will be put into the ears. As this iron is put into the ears, it will start traversing this entire ear canal. It will move in. It is molten iron. 1500 degrees Celsius. As it goes into the ears, it starts penetrating and piercing the entire ear canal and comes out from the other side. All of a sudden, as soon as it comes out, the ears become fine. The ears become okay. Because this is the day nobody is going to die. Quran says, كُلَّمَا نَغِجَتْ جُلُودَهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا لَيَّذُوقُ الْعَذَابِ That is the day in which once in this world, if you burn your skin and the epidermal layer moves out, in which there are nerve endings which pass on the sensory perceptions to the brain, as a result of which you and me feel pain. If by some means those nerve endings were to be removed, and then if a person were to be subjected to pain, he would not feel the pain, because now there are no nerve endings passing the message of pain to the brain, for the brain to decipher the concept of pain. And that is the reason, when you hit your nail, you don't feel pain. When you hit your teeth, you don't feel pain. When you break your hair, you don't feel pain. Because they don't have sensory nerve endings. If by some reason, these nerve endings were to be removed from the skin, nobody would feel the pain. Quran says, Allah says, Islam says, on that day, it is a day of punishment. It is a day of compensation of whatever you have done. Whatever you have sown, we will give you. If you have sown punishment, you get punishment. But that punishment is something that for 50,000 years, the same measure and degree of punishment you will face as it was being done for the first time. So Quran says, when a person's skin is burnt, that entire skin will get burnt. Along with it, the flesh will get burnt. Along with it, the nerve endings will get burnt. You cannot die. But the skin, when it gets burnt, don't think the nerve endings have gone and there will be no pain. Kullama navajat zuludahum badalnahum zuludan ghayraha. We will replace it with a new skin, with the new nerve endings. Now, second time when the fire comes, this sheikh is going to feel the pain in the same measure as he felt the pain for the first time. For how long? Fi yawmin kana miqdaruhu 50 alf sana, 50,000 years. This painful molten iron that is put into the ears goes from this ears, comes out from that ears, shouting and shrieking, وَمَا لَهُمْ مِنْ نَاصِرِينَ. There are no helpers on that day. But that doesn't mean now that canal has become correct, it has made a hole, so now everything that is being put inside will go past through. Everything will be returned back to normal. Now the angels will turn this person on the other side. And now these angels will come with that molten iron and put it into this year. It will go traversing into this year, shrieking and shouting, وَمَا لَهُمْ مِنْ نَاصِرِينَ. How long? 50,000 years. The Prophet has asked, what was the punishment? What was the crime of these people that they were being subjected to such punishment? The Prophet says, these are those individuals in this world who are habituated to getting the ears dirty by means of music. M&M's looks very nice, right? In this world. Over there, when 50,000 years of molten iron being put from one year to the other, then we realize what Allah is talking about. لِمَنِ الْمُلْكِ الْيَوْمِ. Today, who has the power and authority? Musicians, those habituated to playing those guitar and those synthesizers, eh? We are living in the West, we have to live with the West. At our own peril. Synthesizers and guitars, it is said on the Day of Judgment, there will be some people who will come out blind, you just heard. There will be some people who will come out deaf and dumb, you just heard. But there will be some people who will be coming deaf, dumb and blind. Who? Those who sing. The musicians. Like singing, right? Rap. They will come deaf, dumb and blind. And when they are raised up, tradition says, whatever instruments that they were playing in this world, it will be clasped in their hands. They will not be able to let go. But those things are not ordinary guitars. Or those guitars are made of fire. Which fire? The same fire about whom Jibreel said, one link if were to fall onto the earth, all the mountains will get into molten lava because of the heat of one link of the fire of this entire guitar, this entire synthesizer, clasped to his hands. He can't let go. Made of fire, shrieking and shouting, وَمَا لَهُمْ مِنْ نَاصِرِينَ. No helpers. Very nice it looks, na? In front of girls, you start moving, playing the guitar. Gives a good show, isn't it? Yes, it gives a very good show here. For how long? For 50 years. How much do you have to repay back? 50,000 years. You and me, khojas, we have to understand. Is it applicable? Is it appropriate? One last thing before I conclude. Again, I have to pick these things up. Because these are things that our youths and this segment of the community faces in the universities. Till they don't know this, they will not know why we've been asked to stay away. Till they don't know, they will be get carried away by the Western culture. It is your duty as elders and my duty as a little entity over here trying to emphasize the message of God. To make them realize where they might head to, have they not understood and should they not stop. One of the things very common is, when you go to the universities, when they go to isolated places, what happens? It's either movies, or moving around with girls, or watching movies of nature that are not just movies, pornography nature. That means anything by means of which the eyes get polluted. Things that are haram. And there's so many things haram in this world, part of the world. Or for that matter, for any part of the world. Tradition says on the day of judgment, a group will be asked, bring these people onto the earth, onto the plains of Mahshar. Afwaja, fauj, fauj. This group will be brought and said, station yourself onto the plains of Qiyamah. As they come, there are two traditions. One tradition says, which is of a general nature, it's saying when these people will be made to stand up, a group of angels will come. Because all angels will be given a responsibility. This group that comes has a responsibility on the part of the angels. As soon as this group comes, the angels start their work. What do they do? In Jahannam, there are certain trees. Those trees are of specific nature. Some of the names are given in the Quran by the name of Zaqoom. That will be something that will be made to eat. But on this specific occasion, there's a specific tree that is taken. And that tree has a characteristic, that it's got a little twig. At the twig, on the sides, there are big thorns. Very sharp. Whenever we talk about anything, please keep those four factors in mind. When these people are brought in station onto the plains of Qiyamah, the angels will come. They'll pick up these pieces of twigs which have thorns on the side. And they will be said, Hiya, your job is to start now. As they start, for every person that are there, they will pick up these twigs of thorns and they will push it into their eyes. As they push it into their eyes, it goes inside, they will pull it out. When it comes out, it is not just the twig that comes out. It is not just the thorns that come out. With it comes out the eyeball. With it comes out the retina. With it comes out the cornea. With it comes out every nerve ending that is there in the eyes. Shrieking and shouting, وَمَا لَهُم مِّن نَاصِرِينَ. They keep crying, nobody to help. These are the realities. You can't close your eyes and say there is no sun, my friends. It is said they'll be pulled up, the eyeballs will come out. That means what? Now the pain has stopped. كُلَّمَا نُوزَجَ جُلُودَهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا. We will keep changing it. Why? Quran says, لَيَذُوقُ الْعَذَابِ. So they keep experiencing the same punishment in the same intensity, to the same degree, again and again. في يوم كان مقداره 50,000 سنة, 50,000 years. 50,000 years, the eyeballs being pulled out, and then the eyeballs become nice, correct, as normalized. And then again it is pushed in. One little speck goes into the eyes, you can't sleep. That whole thorn goes inside and pull out, and we say, Hi, Abre, join us, we will see whatever happens over there. You cannot see, I cannot see. We're just fooling ourselves that we will see. We cannot see. We do not have the strength to see. Or probably I might think I have the strength to see it. Ali says he cannot see it. If Ali says he cannot see it, he cannot bear it. Definitely, you and me cannot bear it. But then these are realities. People might like it, people might not like it. We're not here to like or not like. We are here because of our feelings for these little children. They have not seen and seen the fostering that our elders had given to us. As a result of it, the elders come here. Snowing outside, but you all will come. Why? Give thanks to our elders and our forefathers. They would teach us. They would explain to us. They would tell us, this is not correct, this is correct. Today is Wafat, come to the mosque. I've got a television program, shut it up and come. Till now we become habituated that we come. Who's going to teach these children? The influence of the West, you and me know. The trouble that it takes for the exposure that they get in the schools, and the words that they pick up, and the akhlaq that they pick up. Everyone who's a parent over here knows the trouble that goes place in trying to give these children a good fostering. It's not like what it was previously. We need to counter those influences of the West, of the schools, of the words that they pick up, of the meanings that they learn at the age of 6 and 7. I've heard it. 6 years and 7 years when we go to the West. And the way they start blurting out words, meanings of which we did not know till we were 20 years. Somebody has to take the lead. It's us as elders need to take the lead. We have to remember what our forefathers did for us. We have to pass this on to our youths. Otherwise there's a big bleak future. We will be held responsible on the day of judgment. On the day of judgment it is said, When the accounting will take place, another 2-3 minutes and we will finish the Masail very quickly. It is said on the day of judgment, a boy will be asked, go to hell. A girl, because she was not wearing hijab, will be asked, take her to hell and throw it. As she is going, as the child is going, they will stop. They will turn back. God will say, why are you turning back? These children will say, we got a complaint to make, Ya Rabb. Oh Lord, we've got a complaint to make. Says, what is your complaint? Against whom do you want to complain? They say, we want to complain against our mothers and against our fathers. Our children are, tradition says, they will complain against us. Saying, what is your complaint? Say, Ya Rab, this mother of mine would spend hours teaching me how to make me look beautiful. They would spend so much money on me so that we could get a good university education. But they never spent us time to teach me the importance of hijab. They never taught us the importance of beard. They never taught us the importance of the Islamic rulings. They did so much for the world. They did nothing for the Akhirah. As a result of which, now today I'm supposed to go to hell. God will say, what do you want? He will say, I want justice. God will say, call the mother and call the father. Send them along with this girl and the boy to hell. Just creating or reproducing them is not the solution. We've got a responsibility. And this is what we see. The training that is important, the training that is required from us as Muslims to be given and imparted to our youngsters, to our youths, these little children. Very naive, huh? And how do we know it? How do we do it? Exactly like today. The emphasis and the development given by the Ahlul Bayt to their children. To the Awan and Muhammad, correct? This is the training that we need to do. How old? 9, 10, 11? But very different. The ideology is different. The thinking is different. Everybody wants to die for Hussein. Everybody wants to come and sacrifice himself for Hussein. The world is not their criteria. Akhirat is their criteria. A 10-year, they're not masoom. Aun and Muhammad, the sons of Zainab, are not masoom. But it is the upbringing that makes a difference. You can't compare them to Hassan and Hussein when they were small. But the training of Zainab was such that the entire concept of life changes. The entire meaning of life changes. And this is what was signified. Because when Hussein left Makkah to go to Karbala, Aun and Muhammad joined him. They did not join him from Medina. Because Zainab's husband, Abdullah ibn Ja'far al-Tayyar, the husband is Abdullah ibn Ja'far al-Tayyar, wife is Bibi Zainab, children are Aun and Muhammad. Hazrat Abdullah was very old. Very old. Could hardly walk. Could hardly see. Eyesight almost gone. So when Imam Hussein was leaving Medina, they wanted to join. Saying, Aun Muhammad, you cannot join. Your father is old. I, as an Imam, am telling you, you have to serve your father. Your mother is coming with me. Zainab is coming with me. So there's nobody to take care of your father. Please, remain there. Aun and Muhammad remain with the father. Hussein leaves Medina, goes to Makkah. From Makkah, he leaves towards Karbala. But as he is leaving, Hazrat Abdullah manages to come from Medina to Makkah. And at a little distance outside Makkah, when the entire caravan was moving towards Karbala, 3 kilometers, 4 kilometers from Medina, from Makkah, Hazrat Abdullah comes. And he requests Hussein, please take Muhammad and Aun with you, please. This is my request. As an elder brother and an elder cousin, I would want to tell you. It's a request, please take them. Hussein agrees and takes them. Look at the training that is going now. The father is saying, I am old. I can hardly walk. I can hardly see. I need sons to protect me. I need sons to take care of me. But now when the religion of Islam is at stake, when the hujjat of God is at stake, I am not concerned about myself. Sons, leave me alone. Go for the sake of religion. What happens in our case? When it is comes for the time of examination, we say, oh, madrasa exams clashing with the school exams. That's what happens in East Africa. Oh, pay attention to the school exams. Madrasa exams are not a problem. This is the training that Aulia Muhammad gets. Forget your father. Go with the Imam. And they stay with the Imam. The entire caravan goes to Karbala. The days pass. As the days pass till it comes to the Shabi Ashur. Shabi Ashur, ajeeb kaifiyat. Ajeeb state. Because now tradition says at night, Hussein has assigned everybody the roles. And now after assigning everybody the roles, he takes a walk around the tents. The tents of the ladies. Every lady is talking to their sons, about the next day's battle. Rubab is talking. Farwa is talking. Layla is talking to the children. And so is Zainab. He peeps into the tent of Zainab. What does he see? See, Zainab is talking to Aun Muhammad. Oh Aun, oh Muhammad, remember who you are. Don't think of yourself as the sons of Zainab. Think of yourself as the grandsons of Jafar al-Tayyar and Ali Haidar al-Karrar. Because your maternal uncle, your maternal grandfather is Ali, your paternal grandfather is Jafar al-Tayyar. Both of them, the line, the shining moons of Bani Hashim. Tomorrow when you're going, you have to do battle. You may be 10 years and 9 years old, but you've got to do battle for the sake of Hussein. And you have to do battle in a way that Ali and Jafar do not feel ashamed. They should be proud that you are their grandchildren. This is the training given by Zainab at the night of Ashur. And so this concept is building up. These are beacons of light, beacons of model for us. Telling us, tomorrow when they are fighting, make sure that you fight before Ali Akbar. You should not remain alive when the sons of Hussein are alive. Sacrifice yourself for the Imam of the time. Sacrifice yourself for Hussein ibn Ali. This training is going to 10 years and 11 years or 9 years old. The next morning comes, as has been taught, every morning, as soon as the morning comes and the battle begins, the little children go to Hussein. Uncle, please give us permission to go. We want to fight for you. We want to die ourselves for you. Hussein says, no, I cannot give. They come back to the tent. Every time they would come into the tent, Zainab will ask, you've still not gone for battle? You've still not gone for battle? Till one day, when they came, she showed signs of anger. Oh, Muhammad, Akbar has died. And you are still alive? You want me to be ashamed in front of the Holy Prophet on the Day of Judgment? Why don't you go and fight and gain martyrdom? They fall down, this is Mother Zainab. But we can't do anything because whenever we go to ask permission from Uncle Hussein, he doesn't give us permission. Give us the permission and see how we will fight. Zainab goes to Hussein and says, brother, the sister is asking you something. Please don't refuse. Hussein says, Zainab, if you ask and I refuse, inconceivable, ask. He says, please send on Muhammad for battle. But Hussein says, you're so small, my heart breaks. Forget about going for fighting. Even the permission, my heart breaks. These little, say, please give them permission. Because of the promise given to Zainab, Hussein says, yes, fire, go. He puts them onto the horse. Both of them go into the battlefield. As they go into the battlefield, they decide we should not separate. They go together, they fight together. And reports say they fought so much and they advanced so much, they were very near the distance, very near to the tent of Umar al-Sa'd. When Umar al-Sa'd saw their fighting, because the blood was of Ali, now the blood was of Jafar al-Tayyar, they had to fight like Bani Hashim. When they went near the tent, Umar al-Sa'd told them, these people, if they are together, you will never be able to beat them. You will never be able to stop them, separate them. They came upon a strategy. Two different groups embarked upon them from both sides. Both of them, when they were separated, become vulnerable, surrounded by enemies. Enemies attack. As the enemies attack, 1, 9 years, 10 years, how much could they fight alone? At a time comes when the attack becomes so severe, they're about to fall from their own horses. They call it, Assalamu alaikum ya Sayyidi, ya Amma. Oh, Uncle Hussein, come to our help. Hussein tells Abbas, Abbas, there are two. There is Aun, there is Muhammad. Come, both of us, let us go. As they go, as they reach, the elder one is dead. The elder brother is dead. The younger brother has little remnants of life left. They pick up the bodies. As the bodies are picked up, by the time they are brought into the tent, the smaller one also dies. Both the large are kept in front of Zainab. As soon as it is kept in front of Zainab, an ajeeb event takes place. All the ladies gather together. As soon as they see on Muhammad, those 9 and 10 year old, they start weeping, they start crying. But when somebody looks at Zainab, Zainab is not crying. Zainab is not crying. All that Zainab does is, she raises his hand, she raises her hand and says, "Oh Allah, accept the sacrifice of Zainab for Hussain. Accept the sacrifice of Zainab for Hussain." Hussain is looking. Zainab is not crying. Zainab did not cry. She cried for Qasim. She cried for Akbar. She did not cry for Aun Muhammad. But when did she cry? She did not cry in Karbala. She did not cry in Kufa. She did not cry in Sham. But when did she cry? When she came to Medina. When she enters her house. When she goes to the room of Aun Muhammad. Little beds. Little clothes. At that time, the floodgates open. Zainab starts to cry. Oh my own, oh my Muhammad, how much I miss. So ya'alamu alladhina zalama ayya munqalib yanqalib. Fatima Hussain.